Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome on into our Friday edition of Sports Talk, May the 9th. Tomorrow, Jeff and I will all be at Saints Rookie Minicamp. Looking forward to seeing all the new prospects in action. Of course, the biggest one that everybody's going to be asking about, the quarterback, of course, the most important position in the NFL. That's one thing I found crazy about this draft, Jeff. Obviously, they had the number one pick, 9th overall. Very exciting, very sexy. They take an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
And really not getting that much of the buzz because you took a quarterback in the second round.
Yeah, that's true. Anytime you take a quarterback in...
Well, if it was like later on, no, you're going to... Yeah, early...
I mean, they took Spencer Rattler in the 5th round last year to all anyone wanted to talk about then either. Like, if you draft a quarterback, people are going to get excited about it. I will say, you know, I've had a few people kind of be like, why aren't people as excited about Tyler Shuck to worry about Spencer Rattler? And, you know, I think part of it is just it was very performative last year of like... They drafted you could have drafted literally anybody, and it was more about like, I don't like Derek Carr, so I'm going to hype up, I'm going to gas up this guy. And it just happened to be someone who was easy to gas up in the sense that we all know his name, and he was, you know, once talked about as the number one overall pick. Obviously, that didn't happen. And, you know, he transferred to South Carolina. It was Caleb Williams who took his job and all that, this and that and the other thing. But, you know, it's just how it is. Quarterbacks make the money because they – make the team go because they make the engine run. And, you know, I'm not even – that wasn't even an intentional Carr pun, but it just was. And it, whether he's the quarterback or not, you know, and that's the thing. Like, we talked about this a little bit on the podcast the other day, but like
– Which podcast would that be?
I think it's called Inside Black and Gold.
Inside Black and Gold.
Check it out. But, no, like – it's not out of the realm of possibility that Derek Carr comes back, right? Like, he's I don't think Derek wants to have surgery. I don't think anyone wants to have surgery. Yeah. So if the doctors say, like, hey, you can rehab this without surgery, the Saints are going to want to get some money out of their investment and bring him in. But, like, you try to envision what that would be like. Walking out, if the season opener is at home and you walk out in the Superdome turf, what's the crowd going to be like? What's the reception going to be like? Are people going to be excited for Derek?
Sorry, I don't see it happening.
It's hard to imagine.
Right.
Now, if he went out and won a game like 40-7, be like, oh, great. But like, hey, we saw that movie last year. So it won't be like, oh, okay, we've got it figured out because we saw how quickly it can go off the tracks. If he goes out week 2, great. Do it again. And they'll be like, oh, it's going to fall off the tracks again. And so I don't know. It's just an ugly scenario set up. And whether it's Tyler Shuck, whether it's Spencer Rattler, I just think it's in the best interest of this team to set a new course at the quarterback position. Yeah, I just do. Like, as much as
have a choice either.
As much, yeah, right. And as much as the investment is there, and you've already signed those checks, like I understand why you would want to get your money out of that. I just don't think it's worth it. I really don't.
Maybe you could help Miss Benson sell some cars at her dealership.
I don't know. Whatever Derek wants to do, let him do it. Just do it somewhere else. Yeah, I'm just. It's been an unsuccessful mission. It is like there's the sunken cost fallacy at play here to a degree that I have never experienced it. Right? If you were a stock trader, you would be so far in the hole. And like, yeah, it's gonna bounce back. Event? No, it's not. It's not gonna bounce back. Cut your losses. That's what I would do. That is my suggestion. And we're going to see. And all this is to say, like, I think people should be excited about Tyler Shuck because I think Tyler Shuck is a good quarterback. And I think he has the tools to be a successful quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, we'll see how that goes. But it's going to be such a weird conversation to have if you get to the first day of training camp and Derek's there.
Yeah.
Because I think people are just assuming he's not going to be there.
Talking about a guy that knows something about quarterback and Drew Brees. He joined us this week on Wednesday talking about all things Saints. Also, he's got some endeavors in the business world. We know Surge Entertainment, the grand opening happening there with all those arcades and laser tag. There's a go-kart track being built there as well. Excited to check that out with Drew. But Brees, we asked him about, you know, first off, the hiring of Kellen Moore, new head coach in town. What's he think about the new boss of the Black and Gold?
I've been really impressed with Kellen, and everyone in the building seems to be really impressed with him as well. Kellen Moore was a great quarterback in his own right. I mean, you talk about a guy who came out of college football with, what, like a 52-3 record, you know, playing for Boise State. I mean, I remember watching him play back in college, and it was one of those things where Boise State was always punching well above their their weight, playing against some teams that you thought they had no business being on the field with, and they would find ways to win games every year that you just you had to admire. And Kellen Moore was the quarterback and at the helm in a lot of those big games. So here's a guy who's kind of used to being a little bit of the underdog, maybe used to being, you know, kind of sold a little bit short. And yet he came in the NFL. I think it was obvious that he had a bright future as a coach, has kind of worked his way up from being a quarterback coach to a play caller. And I think he's been in some really unique situations with some other great coaches and great offensive minds. So I can see how he's developed kind of his philosophy. And I think just the things that he's implemented just within the building, as I talk to scouts and I talk to players and I talk to other coaches, I think he's really kind of instantly made a big impact, and guys have a ton of respect for him, and I think are really excited to play for him.
Drew Brees talking about new head coach Kellen Moore there. That's one QB in the building. The other one is also the rookie they drafted in the second round, Tyler Shuck. Drew Brees' thoughts on the new guys, the new signal caller for the Black and Gold.
To me, here's a guy who comes in with a ton of maturity. He's had to battle through a lot of adversity. You know, he's been exposed to a lot of college football. I mean, he's gotten a ton of experience. And I think spending that last year in Louisville with Jeff Rahm, I think was probably like that, you know, tipping point for him, that where he was able to kind of combine his experience and kind of all that he had to, you know, battle through. All of a sudden now being with a coach who's a great developer of quarterbacks and a great system. And, man, I just see some of the throws that he made last year, and he's a big, strong guy who's tough, who will stand in the pocket, who will take hits. Obviously a great athlete, you know, for his size as well. But, man, you just see him making some throws that are pretty rare, pretty unique, great anticipation, good arm strength. I think more so than anything, I just think there's a level of maturity. He comes in, and he's probably not going to act like a rookie or sound like a rookie, just given the amount of experience that he has. You know, what is he, 24, 25 years old? So, you know, I think he comes in really well equipped.
Drew Brees talking about Tyler Shuck there, was also asked about, you know, the possibility of the rookie starting week one because of the uncertainty with Derek Carr's shoulder situation.
It seems like everything's been pretty, you know, pretty hush hush. I mean, hopefully there's been very clear communication between Derek and the organization. I really hope there has been. You know, I've reached out to Derek just to check on him, you know, genuinely as a friend, you know, hoping that everything's okay and hoping that, you know, he's able to get healthy and be able to play. But, you know, look, you're always preparing for the future, you know, so whether the drafting of Tyler Shuck was because, hey, we really think we need a guy who, you know, can come in and start for us this year or push Derek Carr, or, hey, it's you know, we're just thinking about the future. Regardless, a lot of times, hey, you see a player that you really like and you see that he's in a great value position in the draft, you know, you're going to take him anyway. So bottom line is I think they got the guy that they wanted. The Saints got the guy that they wanted. They got the guy that they had their eye on and that they thought really, really highly of and feel like he can be a solution for him, you know, into the future. So, you know, we'll see how it plays out. I hope Derek's healthy. At the end of the day, I hope it's an unbelievable quarterback competition where they bring out the best in each other, because I think that goes for every position. You know, every position, especially with a new head coach coming in, needs to be, hey, each and every one of you guys has to prove it to me. You have to, even the veteran guys, you have to prove why you still deserve to be in the position you are as a starter, as a leader on this team. You got to prove it to me. And then young guys, you know, we're going to develop you. You know, you find a way to contribute and a way to bring value to this team, because, you know, this division's wide open and we need to go win this thing.
We need to go win this thing. Love to hear that from Drew Still talking about the Saints. You know, we went earlier about the odds right now winning the NFC South. Not the greatest, but Drew Brees, you know, we heard him talking about Kellen Moore now. When he was here for Super Bowl, it was still all up in the air, where it was like it looked like the Eagles offensive coordinator was the favorite for the gig, but nothing was set in stone at that time because they still had a game to play.
Yeah. Well, what's the question?
No, I was just saying with, you know, we heard from Drew Brees now and Kellen Moore, a little bit of Tyler Shuck and also sure. the Derek Carr situation. I was telling you when I heard him going back over that answer with Derek Carr, shame on me for not going back when he said he reached out to Derek, you know, as a friend just to see how he's doing. I was like, well, what'd he say?
He wouldn't have told you. And he also didn't say that Derek responded.
Responded, right.
So who knows? But he also said, I hope that there's been clear communication. So clearly he hasn't been told there's been clear communication. But no, I think he's on the nose there with, like, it has to be a competition. And that's the only issue I have with the idea that, okay, if Derek's healthy, he's the starter. Because even Drew's saying there, like, no, it's a new coaching era. No one should walk into a job. They should have to earn that job. And there's certain guys that you expect, okay, no one's beating out DeMario Davis for the starting linebacker spot, you know? But at the same time, there should be some level of, like, no one's being handed anything. But and I think that's been the resentment to Derek a little bit, is like he kind of walked into this situation and it has never been in question of, like, is he going to be the guy? And you paid him like the guy, so you're going to play him like the guy. But I don't know. Are we still in that? Are we still there? Is that where we are after four seasons of missed playoffs? You know, very high profile discomfort, if you want to use that word, in the locker room and kind of the situation as a whole. I don't know. But I appreciated what Drew said about Tyler, because I think he's right. And I think that's what you see on tape. If you actually go look at the tape, is a guy who makes a lot of really impressive throws and can make really impressive throws from a lot of different angles. You know, he's one of those guys that can kind of drop arm slots and make a throw from a different location if just to get it off. You know, he said he grew up watching Matthew Stafford. That's kind of a guy he modeled some of his game after. And you can see that's what Matthew Stafford does really, really well, is change arm slots. And you just got to get the ball there sometimes. I think, you know, when you have a guy that is committed, you know, you feel like he's going to put the work in, has the traits you want. And, you know, while the success has not been elite in terms of, he had 1 year at Louisville where he put up good numbers, you know, you feel like he has progressed throughout his career. He's athletic. He can run. He didn't get asked to run a lot at Louisville, but he did at Texas Tech and Oregon. So, no, I agree with a lot of what Drew said, and I think, you know, we've heard Archie Manning, we've heard from Drew Brees. There's a lot of high-profile support for this kid right now.
We're going to take a break, get back with more of our Saints rookie minicamp preview. Matthew Paris from the Times-Picayune and Advocate will join us after the break. Want to let everyone know, as we head out, due to the inclement weather in the area, there will not be a 6:30 first pitch for LSU baseball. An updated start time will be provided when it becomes available, so stay tuned right here. We will have that game for you whenever it does go off, and we'll definitely let you know when those times are set for Game 1 LSU baseball taking on Arkansas. Meanwhile, we'll take a break right now. Be back right after this, so stay tuned on WWL. Welcome back into Sports Talk. We've been breaking down Saints rookie minicamp. We'll get access to that tomorrow to help us talk more about the black and gold. We're going to welcome in now Matthew Paris, Saints beat reporter for the Times-Picayune and The Advocate. How you been doing this rainy Friday, Matt?
I'm doing well, staying in mostly, but it's been good.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to being back in the Saints facility tomorrow. It is the weekend, and we could be, you know, spending time doing something else. But it's a whole new regime here being brought in for the Saints. And a lot of exciting time to see, first off, just what's going to be different out there.
Yeah, no, I mean, the Saints have really – we were talking about this on our podcast the other day, and Luke brought it up, and it was a really great point, like – the Saints have really kind of practiced the same way for the last 20 years with Sean Payton, and then Dennis Allen had kind of a similar routine. We saw something a little different under Darren Rizzi, but, you know, this is a chance for Kellen Moore, to lay out his foundation and, have his staff go about the way he wants things to be done. So we'll see if things are a little different. It'll be interesting to see.
What has your impression of Kellen been? You know, obviously we all had our opinions that we developed over the course of, like, oh, who's going to be the head coach? And you watch him go through the playoffs. We haven't talked to him that much. He's had a few availabilities. But, you know, what has been kind of your read on how he's handled this process? You know, obviously you've spent the last couple of years dealing with Dennis Allen and Darren Rizzi, and now it is kind of that new era.
Well, did you use the word process intentionally there? Because that's one of the things that stands out about Kellen Moore is he loves that word. And but you do get the sense that things are, you know, in all seriousness, actually going to be a process, that he has a very specific way, or kind of, you know, I think he wants his players to be a little bit more versatile than maybe some of the other past staff here. And, you know, you do get the sense that he is a sharp football mind. Like, we haven't really asked him a lot of questions about kind of how he sees the game, but when we have, you know, he dives into some of that stuff. And so, you know, it'll be interesting to see how he interacts with players, because so far the audience that we've gotten him with is really just, you know, kind of in front of the media. And he's very, a little bit buttoned up there, but it'll be interesting to see if he's more relaxed, more, you know, outgoing and engaging. You know, he's a very nice guy, but I think still a little bit more reserved in a media setting so far.
Looking at the Saints' first-round pick this year, Kelvin Banks Jr., taken 9th overall. Just curious your take on the big man from Texas, another addition to the Saints' offensive line, definitely needed, and just curious to where you think he might slot in. Is it going to be left tackle on this O-line?
Yeah, I would think it would be left tackle. You know, Kellen Moore said, even though he didn't say, you know, he kept it to the best five are going to play.
Right.
He did say that they saw him as a tackle. That's where he played in college. I think tomorrow is going to be kind of a real tipping hand of where they see him, because if you remember last year in rookie minicamp, they had to at least log a play in left tackle, and that's kind of what they stuck him with throughout the year. So unless the staff is dramatically different, I think the position we see Banks in tomorrow is going to be a strong indication of at least how they view him initially. But I do really like the pick. You know, talking to people, I talked to Kyle Flood, the offensive coordinator and offensive line coach at Texas. He said that, you know, Banks was kind of a cornerstone piece for them, and that, you know, he was the guy that really helped build their program. It was apparent right away that he was going to be their left tackle. So if he can replicate that type of success for the Saints, it's a home run. It's just, you know, how does this game translate to the next level?
Yeah, I think moving him to right tackle wouldn't make – to me, it's like if I'm going to switch positions, I want to do it now. I don't want to play one guy at right tackle, one guy at left tackle, and then get to the end of the season and be like, actually, let's flip that around. You guys are going to change spots. Yeah. So I don't know. To me, I kind of feel like you want to make that decision and stick to it and allow those guys to build. And that's true for Trevor Penning as well. You know, obviously this would be his, if he moves in and competes at guard, it would be his third position in 3 years. But I just think you don't benefit anything from being non-committal about where a guy's going to play. Where do you land on that in terms of just guys? You know, obviously there's some level of cross-training you want. You probably will want to get Kelvin Banks reps at guard, even if you are planning to play him at tackle, but I think you do want to be consistent with a young guy in terms of where he's going to play.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, that's something Kellen Moore also said, is that, you know, they want to start off not overloading information with these guys. They want to keep it simple at the beginning so they get their feet about them. And I do think, you know, keeping them with one position. And then also the other thing, like, you switch it if it goes bad. You know, if you did in theory want to try him on right tackle, or you could tell that he's not playing tackle well in the NFL, like in training camp, then you try him at guard. Like, you let him try one thing first, and if that doesn't succeed, then you tinker about a little bit. It reminds me of Brandon Sheriff in Washington. You know, they picked him in the top five in 2015. He ended up being a guard, but that first training camp, he was a tackle. Now, it did not go well for him in that camp. They moved him to guard, but then he turned out to be an all-pro guard for them. So, you know, I would try Banks first at tackle and see how he does. And if he can't hold up there, then, you know, maybe you talk about shifting him inside.
Yeah, I mean, Andres Pete's another good example of that. The Saints didn't draft Andres Pete at 13 overall to be a guard, but he ultimately was a very successful guard for them.
Right.
Looking at the quarterback position, that's been the biggest buzz with this black and gold bunch after the draft. Tyler Shuck, everybody started, you know, studying Louisville film and his time at Texas Tech and Oregon as well. Just curious what you've seen from the young man, and what were you looking forward to seeing just from him tomorrow at the rookie camp. I know I just want to see how the ball comes off his hands and basically what command of the offense we can at least get some little idea in tomorrow's practice. But this Saints QB situation is definitely a puzzling one because of the unknown status of Derek Carr.
It is, yeah. And, you know, I don't know if you're really going to be able to tell this through rookie minicamp tomorrow, but I do think it's interesting is how does he command the offense? Because, you know, he played in three different types of schemes in college. You know, Oregon's offense was pretty different than Texas Tech, and Louisville, you know, was a pro-style offense, which I know the coaches here, you know, raved about in terms of, you know, they think he's ready for the next level because of that in part. And so, you know, I think he's a smart guy. He has a really big arm. Maybe we'll see that. I would caution, you know, don't read too much into rookie minicamp. Just if he lights the world on fire, that's, you know, that's a good sign, but it's not, oh my God, this guy needs to start over Derek Carr. You know, rookie minicamp is still rookie minicamp, but there are some things to read into it. It'll be interesting to see if the hype train grows at all because, you know, among the Saints fan base anyway, that pick was kind of polarizing, but I know the Saints are excited to have him.
I don't know what you're talking about. Shedeur Sanders is already a star. I heard that after he walked out as one of the last players at rookie minicamp in Cleveland. We can decide those things. I'm just kidding. But I fully intend to overreact as far as I'm concerned. You know, one of the things I've been trying to do, I always put out like a way too early roster projection right after rookie minicamp. And, you know, it's usually a little easier in the middle to figure it out. But I look at the defensive line position this year, and I have no idea where it's going to go, whether you're going to lean on some of the players who have been here. You know, you have a guy like Jonah Williams showing up, how, you know, players that Brandon Staley has brought in, even like a Chris Rumpf, a guy he's familiar with. What's the level of commitment to some of the guys who have been here versus some of these new players? Are you going to be as committed to an Isaiah Foskey in the new regime as you were with the old regime? I don't know. To me personally, that seems like a really interesting position, and we'll only see one edge rusher out there, or at least one drafted edge rusher in Fadil Diggs. But where do you think that's get? Like, how do you feel about that position in general in terms of how it's going to develop in this new scheme?
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest. I don't really understand what they were trying to do at defensive tackle this offseason. I get the trade for Godshaw. You know, you want your big nose tackle on your scheme. You get that. But then bringing back Shepard and Saunders, you know, I think they're fine players, but it just I guess that was maybe more cap maneuvering too, because they both are going to cost you. You get them cheaper or a lower cap hit anyway this year by at least extending Shepard and restructuring Saunders. But I don't really get, like, the Vernon Broughton pick is still a little confusing. I'm going to be interested to see where he plays. Maybe he lines up more as a 3-4 defensive end for them rather than just like a defensive tackle. But then where does he play in nickel? Like that is a position, you know, as you mentioned, Jeff, like that needs to shake itself out. And I'm not totally out on it. I'd be interested to hear more of the thought process on it.
Matthew, I know you guys do some extensive coverage of the Saints at NOLA.com. What can folks find on the website right now? What stories you got out that they need to be checking out as we head into rookie minicamp?
Yeah, I have a bit of a primer on this rookie minicamp this weekend. And, you know, if you're confused about the Derek Carr story and what's going on there, I have a pretty thorough timeline of, you know, when it all started and what's happened. And I encourage people to check that out if you have any questions about what's going on with Derek Carr.
Definitely, man. Appreciate your time. And we'll talk to you tomorrow at Saints minicamp. Appreciate the time.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Matthew Paris, Times-Picayune, NOLA.com, joining us there. Covers the Saints. Check out his work at NOLA.com. Going to take a break. Be back with more of Sports Talk. Remember, LSU baseball has been a delayed start. We still don't have an exact start time yet, but it will not be 6:30. So we'll be back with more of Sports Talk right after this. Stay tuned on WWL. Back here in our rainy Friday edition of Sports Talk, talking about our Bet365 triple option feature with Charlie Long. You're the leadoff man today.
Guys, I know the game's not tonight. Game 3 at MSG is going to be played tomorrow, but there was a stat that I saw that's just incredible, and it kind of encapsulates what this Knicks-Celtics series has been through the first two games at TD Garden. The time leading in the series so far, guys, the Boston Celtics, out of 101 minutes, because, you know, the 96 combined between the two games and then game 1 went to OT, out of the 101 minutes, Boston's led for 81 minutes and 4 seconds. The Knicks have led for 12 minutes and 15 seconds. The rest of the time, it's been a tie. The Knicks lead the series, though, 2-0, guys. And we talked with Nick Friedel. He had kind of echoed the same sentiments as like Ryan Horvat from yesterday, that they're not really hitting the panic button just yet for Boston. Boston's been better on the road this year. But man, like for any basketball fan, game three at MSG tomorrow, tune in.
Looking at the golf links for me, guys, young Charlie Woods, not ready. He is unsuccessful on his second attempt to qualify for the U.S. Open. The 16-year-old, he carded a 3-over par at Wellington Golf Club. The son of the 15-time major champion Tiger Woods, 7 strokes over the required score of 68. He did show improvement, though. Last year, he fired 9-over at the Legacy Golf Club and Tennis Club in Port St. Lucie, Florida. He rebounded to qualify for the U.S. Junior Amateur, although he missed the cut in that tournament by 18 strokes. So we'll see if the force is strong with Charlie Woods eventually, but right now, the 16-year-old still on the shelf.
Is it my turn?
Yeah, it's your turn.
All right. So, we'll talk more about this as we go. I think we're staying on. So I've spent some time today going through the UDFA class and kind of getting my eyes on some of them. You know, it can be tough to find tape of Elliot Davison, you know, a safety at UTSA. But, the guy who stood out to me in terms of, like, we're going to see him out there, and I think people are going to be impressed who probably haven't watched him a lot, is Marcus Yarns, the running back out of Delaware. He's 5'11", but he plays a lot bigger than that. He's got really good long speed. You know, he's a one-cut guy, not a ton of wiggle. But, you know, he could be what Jamal Williams was supposed to be. I think he could be that physical guy who can kind of get downhill. So I don't know. Like, I think this running back room is kind of wide open for the Saints. You know, obviously you have a 6th-round pick in there, but a 6th-round pick is not exactly he's definitely going to make this roster. We've talked about it before in Devin Neal. I think Devin Neal is going to be a guy people like as well. But
yeah, he's got a lot of buzz around
I think Marcus is going to have something to say about this running back competition. And I think it's wide open. I don't think Kendre Miller is guaranteed a job. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is definitely not guaranteed a job. Jordan Mims is not guaranteed a job. So if one of these guys shows up and is the Pierre Thomas mold, right? A guy who just does a little bit of everything, works hard. I think you could see someone find their way into this new scheme that maybe you aren't expecting. And Marcus Yarns would be – he's not my pick to make the roster as a UDFA, but he's probably my dark horse pick right now that not a lot of people are talking about.
That wraps up our triple option feature. I want to remind everybody, 6:30 first pitch, no longer for LSU baseball. We're going to find out still from the LSU Sports Radio Network the start time for game one between the Tigers and the Arkansas Razorbacks. So keep it locked right here on WWL. We'll let you know when we do. Be back after the break right after this. Keep it locked right here on WWL. If you're looking for LSU baseball, we will have that game whenever it does get underway. Right now, we know that 6:30 start time ain't happening this evening, but LSU has not released an official first pitch yet for tonight's game. Looking at the rest of the matchups for the weekend, we'll have game two tomorrow, 5:30 first pitch, 5 o'clock pregame coverage, then game three on Sunday, 2:30 pregame with a 3 o'clock first pitch, WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Go Tigers. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and we'll be back with even more of sports talk for you coming to you on this rainy Friday. We're waiting to find out when LSU and Arkansas are going to get that game underway. So be back right after this on WWL.